You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios, local, state, national. Man, we cover down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Boomer, how is it possibly hour number three?
Man, it just flies by.
I mean, this has been some more kind of a Monday. I mean, this is cruise.
I mean, it's just, yeah, cruise control.
Is your headache better, by the way?
It is. Thank you for asking.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Oh,
by all means, please. Yes. Yeah,
those are right side rations.
The right side rations. That's what it was. That and the ibuprofen, right? All right. Hey, listen, I want to go to the phones right now. I really appreciate the fact that we've got state leaders who will take action on things and then be willing to come on the air and talk about it. State Representative Matt Simpson represents State House District 96 from down in Baldwin County. The cities of Daphne, Spanish Fort are both in his community, or his district, I'm sorry. And just to give you an idea where he's from, but he's a practicing attorney. He got his undergrad degree from Alabama, his law degree from Cumberland School of Law at Sanford. He was previously the child victims prosecutor for Baldwin County, handling all cases where children have been the victims of sexual or physical abuse, and is a career prosecutor. Anyway, listen, I want to bring him on right now because he has been actively engaging the process of stepping up maybe some mandatory sentencing guidelines and stiffening the laws related to fentanyl, which is a epidemic we've been talking about on this show. Representative Matt Simpson, how you doing?
Doing good, Phil. Thank you for having me on. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. And by the way, I got to say too, I told you before, I follow you on Twitter. You got some pretty good action on Twitter, just so you know.
I like to tell people my tweets are my own. Those aren't necessarily where I get too political, but if you catch me on the wrong football day or wrong basketball day, it can get pretty exciting.
Well, yeah, but you know what? You also make it kind of personal because it makes it like you're a real person, which you are. And a lot of folks forget the fact that our elected officials, and I've served down there with you, the same places where you are now, that we're bivocational. We got real lives and real jobs outside of the legislature. So thanks for what you do.
We do, and we have real wives who kind of kick me a little bit and tell me, you shouldn't be tweeting that, so it's fun.
Yeah, my wife is my best screener. Listen, Representative Simpson, let me ask you something. I had Barry Mattson on last week, maybe late in the week before, but he came on to talk about fentanyl. I recall, he's from the District Attorney's Association, I recall Barry giving briefings when I was in the State Senate, and that's been over 4 years ago. And the crisis, though, has amplified in recent years. And the report that I just read a minute ago before you came on, we're looking at 136% increase in fentanyl deaths in Alabama alone. We're looking at 70,000 Americans died from fentanyl overdoses last year, over 100,000 just in the 2 years of the Biden administration. You're looking at some things, legislative action that could take place that might deal with this straight up. Tell me what's going on and what you got planned.
Absolutely, Phil. And you know this. You know, what we have coming in is the traffickers. This is a weapon that's being used against us from the outside in. You have the producers in China who are using the distributors from the Mexican cartel drug trafficking trade, and they're getting into this in our community. You know, this is... number one, it's a moneymaker for them because they can cut this up and cut fentanyl up. And, you know, for you can get a kilo of heroin for about $6,000, and you can sell that wholesale by the time you put it on the streets for about $80,000.
Wow.
That same kilo of pure fentanyl, if you cut it up and the way they're doing all this thing, you can get about $1.6 million from that. So they're not stupid. They're moneymakers. They understand that, you know, fentanyl being a synthetic opioid, it does not have to grow. So you're not waiting for a plant or you're not waiting for something to be there. It's just as fast as those producers can make it. Those manufacturers that get in there, they can make it. Our border isn't safe. It's not secure. So they're sending these drugs in through the border and they're getting into our communities. And these things, this fentanyl is a whole different drug, Bill. It's not, you know, it's not your pot of the 70s. It's not your cocaine of the 80s. It's not even your meth of the early 2000s. This is one of those things that one pill will kill you. And a lot of people don't know that fentanyl, you know, they get mixed in and laced with some of the drugs they're taking, and they can overdose. I talked about this over the time, and some of your listeners may be sitting around and they've got that afternoon coffee next to them, and you get that 1 gram, that little packet of Sweet and Low right there in those little pink little packets. 1 gram of that, of fentanyl, if that was pure fentanyl, that gram could kill up to 500 people.
Wow. You know, it's amazing. I just had a listener, by the way, that texted me that same analogy just a minute ago. A guy named James from Harvest texted me that very thing. One Sweet and Low package, that amount of fentanyl could kill 500 adults. That's an amazing statistic.
It is. And the way they're getting the stuff in by the pound and bringing it through here, it's dangerous. It is absolutely an epidemic that we have to look out for. We have to protect ourselves, you know, federally. I'm hoping they can do something federally to increase the protections that we have. But for the state of Alabama, and Phil, this is one of those kind of loopholes that you kind of just slip through the cracks on it. Fentanyl is the only drug in Alabama where if you're charged and convicted of trafficking, you don't have a mandatory prison sentence. If you are trafficking heroin, if you're trafficking methamphetamine, if you're trafficking cocaine, heck, even if you're trafficking marijuana, there's a mandatory prison sentence that goes along with that conviction. Fentanyl is the only drug that does not have. That was brought to my attention in the laws in Alabama, and I would say I did a double take, but it was more like a triple take. Just sitting back and be like, that cannot be true.
What?
And looked into it and found out, you know what? We've got to do something on this fentanyl crisis that we have. So that's what I like to do, is kind of find problems in the law and figure out how to make it better, figure out what fixes we need to do, and actually be productive in the legislature trying to fix some problems.
Okay, so let me jump in there and ask you. I mean, first of all, I'm taken aback by that too, because, you know, having served as the vice chair of judiciary myself in the Senate, we dealt with any number of bills that came up that dealt with, you know, mandatory sentencing guidelines or stiffening the penalties, or for that matter, sometimes being asked to reduce the penalties. But the truth be told, I would not have expected to hear that the most prolific drug on the radar right now has no mandatory prison time, but yet everything else does. Is that, in your opinion, is that because it's just so new that the law hadn't caught up with it yet? Or is it because there's been a true effort to look aside? What are your thoughts?
I think that came up more because fentanyl was more used for its medical purposes. It was more used in the medical field. You had medical professionals. So everybody kind of thought that the volume of fentanyl that you're actually moving, it was a problem because, again, like you're saying, 1 gram could kill up to 500 people. Well, you got to have pounds of marijuana or kilos of cocaine, you know, stuff like that. But so I think fentanyl kind of slipped through the cracks. It wasn't a popular drug during all this time. It was used for medical purposes. And now, because it's taken such a change, because it's become that synthetic opioid, it's become that attack system that China and the drug cartels from Mexico are using on our people, that's what's getting in here. Because they can make so much money off of it, that's the drug we have to deal with now. So it's one of those things of the use of fentanyl has changed over time. So we're just, and you know, Phil, being in the legislature like you were, you kind of have to adapt. The drug dealers are ahead of us. The traffickers are ahead of our time. You talk about on the judiciary, can you imagine, like Spice? I'm sure you went through this with Spice.
Oh, yeah, we did.
By the time you change one or two laws to kind of get the compound of Spice, well, the dealers and traffickers are changing what the compound of that Spice was. So it's one of those things. The law has to adapt to what the dealers and what the traffickers are using.
Well, let me ask you this, Matt. So we got about 2.5 minutes left here. Tell me this. You've got proposed legislation. I don't know if you pre-filed it or not, but just tell us what it is you're proposing that the legislature take up and consider in terms of stiffening the penalties for fentanyl.
Absolutely. We can't pre-file it yet because the system's got to be worked on. I think maybe in January after the organizational session is when we can pre-file this, but I will file it once it's there. So what my bill will do is anyone convicted of trafficking fentanyl would have mandatory prison requirements. And it kind of goes based on the weight as to how much the mandatory term would be. So if you have between 1 gram and 2 grams, the mandatory minimum will be 3 calendar years. If you have between 2 grams and 4 grams, the mandatory sentence would be 10 calendar years. If you have between 4 grams or 8 grams, it'd be a 25 calendar years. And if you have more than 8 grams, it'd be a mandatory minimum of life in prison. And so we looked at all these things. We looked at all 50 states. We looked at where they were for trafficking. We looked at what they had. We looked at what they were doing. This isn't out of line. This isn't overly heavy. This is right about where we need to be consistent with all the other 50 states, other than some of the outliers that just you know, you've got California in there that doesn't believe anybody should be in prison.
Well, you know, we've got the southern border, and by the way, I like this. I like where you're headed here. The southern border is where the vast majority of fentanyl pours into the United States, and then Alabama is on both of the major corridors that lead east from the southern border, I-10 and I-20. And so those two corridors right there are part of the drug and human trafficking corridor that we see constantly flooding our state. And so we've got to take some action on this, and I applaud you for moving it forward. Are you getting support from your legislative comrades?
I am. I've had people from all across the state reach out. I've sent this bill around to a number of legislators to let them look, let them see if there's any kinks that they need ironed out, if there's anything they want changed or adapted. What I want to do, Phil, is I want to be able to file it when we can file it and have all the amendments already in place, so we're not sitting there arguing on the floor about what amendment or going back and forth about substitution. I want to get all the kinks ironed out right now, so when we get it, we can hit the ground running when we go in session in March.
Well, I fully expect that some of the usual advocates for leniency will be right there dogging you. You're going to have the SPLC, the ACLU, Alabama Appleseed, Arise. They're all going to be right there going, this is too harsh. You can't do it. You're going to overcrowd our prisons. So are you getting bipartisan support on this? And what have you heard from the opponents to the idea of stiffening penalties?
It's the same thing you'd expect. I've sent it to others. I've sent it to people from both parties just to let them look and let them see. You know, I'm not anticipating a lot of support from I'd love to have a lot of support across the aisle, but I'm not anticipating it right now. Heck, you see what's going on with prisons today with this strike that's going on down there at the Department of Corrections, where they're trying to change all the laws and everything possibly can. So I don't see any way that somebody is going to get all excited on the other side about mandatory minimums. But I'm telling you, this is works. This is conservative leadership to say we need to go ahead and put these prisons in there. And we're not going after the users, and that's important, Bill. It's not we're going after the users that have one or two pills on there. We're going after the traffickers. These are the people that are bringing it into our community, the ones that are getting it in the hands of other people. I don't want to go after small-time people on this. I want to go after the people that are making it happen and the ones that are distributing this drug and causing so many of these deaths in our community.
All right. Well, State Representative Matt Simpson from House District 96 down yonder in the Baldwin County area. We got to wrap it there, but we appreciate your time and thanks for what you're doing and keep us posted. All right.
Hey, absolutely. Let me know anytime. I'll come on anytime you want me to.
All right. Take care. All right, Boomer. Let's take a break, brother. I ran about a minute or two long. That was too good to put a stop to it. But folks, that's the thing. We've got to have House and Senate leadership willing to say that's got to stop. And our watch, it is going to stop. We've got to, because this is, and like Matt and I just talked about, the drug cartels get ahead of the legislature every time they can. The legislature may have to play catch-up, but the reality is they've got to play catch-up and deal with this one, in this case, fentanyl. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, let me just wrap this section up on the fentanyl crisis. So, story on thehill.com, I'll just read one small excerpt from it. This is dated August 27th. The headline is "Stopping the Fentanyl Crisis Demands Policy Changes at the Border and with China." It says this is August 27th, two and a half weeks ago, a little over 3 weeks ago. "The 1,244 grams of fentanyl we seized in the first 3 months of this year is twice as much as we seized in all of 2021, when overdose deaths increased by 71% over 2020. Those 1,244 grams are enough to kill 660,000 people, or like 85% of the population of Alaska. Let that soak in for a minute. In three months, they seized twice as much fentanyl as they did in all of the year prior. That's unreal. Story on AL.com. I said some things a minute ago to Representative Matt Simpson, and I said, well, I know who your usual opponents are going to be. And I did. By when I said that, I had not even read this article yet. I read it during the break. I'm looking at it. Bam, there it is. AL.com dated yesterday. As fentanyl deaths rise, Alabama officials face a vexing question. More prison sentences or alternative solutions? Why don't you do both? You know, the knuckleheads that say, well, you can't do that. You have to work with the person. You have to help them. You have to do things. Okay, they're the same people who goes, you can't, you have to take care of the immigrant. You can't close the border. No, you close the border first. You shut down the problem. Then you deal with the underlying causes that the individuals are dealing with. Well, this story on AL.com dated yesterday. Alabama officials are scrambling to find solutions to the latest drug crisis as overdoses linked to illicit fentanyl ingestion are rattling the state with plenty of horrific stories. Recent examples. A 15-year-old in Sims snorted opioids not knowing it was laced with synthetic fentanyl. She died, and her boyfriend was arrested. A 26-year-old Foley woman ingested an opioid that is believed to have fentanyl in it. She also died. A 26-year-old woman in Birmingham took a pill laced with just 11 milligrams of fentanyl. She died. By the way, 11 milligrams, you're talking like a few grains of salt. That's how big, that's how much that is. In Jefferson County alone, health officials are reporting a 118% jump in fentanyl-related deaths from 2019 to the present. The potency of fentanyl, according to law enforcement in Alabama, is unlike anything they've seen in the modern era drug enforcement. Health officials say it is 100 times stronger than morphine. God. And 50 times more potent than heroin. But here's the thing. Right off the bat, State Representative Anthony Daniels, Democrat minority leader in the State House, said he agrees with Matt Simpson that lawmakers must do everything possible, but, here's the but, he added that lawmakers must also be smart about how we design these tough-as-nails sentencing guidelines that act as real deterrents. I pledge to work with him and others across the aisle, it says, to pass legislation that works to severely punish those guilty of pushing these dangerous drugs and provides mental health treatment for those in need. Okay, sounds good. Then you start reading further in the article. Critics, including the ACLU, believe lawmakers are setting up another tough-on-drugs and punitive approach to the crisis that they worry will only worsen the state's overcrowded prison system. Yeah, their representative, Jatwan Bosby-Gilchrist, says there's no evidence mandatory minimums deter the illegal sale of fentanyl. Okay, Jatwan, I disagree. ACLU, our prisons are overcrowded and unsafe because of too many bills like Simpson's. A recent report by Alabama Appleseed showed that 75 to 80% of people within state custody still have a substance abuse disorder. So that means we don't stop it? Listen, got to stop it. Got to. Hey, speaking of crises, let me just shift gears real quick and just tell you. You may have heard me talking about the situation with water contamination at Camp Lejeune. Well, I'm going to tell you more about it after this break. If you were ever at Camp Lejeune from 1953 to 1987, you may have been exposed to what has been confirmed to be contaminated water. You're going to want to hear this. Stay tuned. I'll tell you about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.